There was a terrible accident in one of the churches of God last month. Faith is dead, and Grace is still in intensive care. Now, yes, there was a terrible accident in one of the remnant churches of God last month. And because of the accident, Faith is now dead in that church, and Grace is in intensive care. And it doesn't look like Grace will make it, because Grace is headed for death to join the death of Faith. The leading minister of one of the offshoot congregations said that he follows the Jews. And the statement was made that therefore the Jews are sitting in Moses' seat. Well, if he's supposed to follow the Jews, then Christ isn't the Messiah. Because the Jews clearly believe, we all know that, that Christ is not the Messiah. So that statement killed faith in that church. Because as you know, faith without works is dead. And you can read that in James 2:16. Now, Grace is still alive, but only for a short period of time. Because as we know, grace is a time that we can repent in. And the problem is that grace does not go on forever to allow you to keep sinning forever and not develop the righteous character of God and live the way the God family lives. So regrettably, if this church doesn't change, grace will die along with faith. And faith and grace in that church are dead. Faith and grace are dead. A stunning and jarring allegory. And that's the purpose, to jar us to how serious it is. And it paints us a picture to visualize how bad things really are in some of the offshoot main Church of God congregations. Now we know that faith is righteousness, and without righteous works, your faith is dead. So the Bible clearly states that faith without works is dead, and grace is a limited amount of time to repent in. And if you still refuse to obey the Bible, therefore, you are headed for the lake of fire. Now, like in the movie Thelma and Louise that some of you might have seen, where they ended up heading right off the cliff, Grace's days are numbered, because grace is being driven right off the cliff, is heading right off the cliff, and that's another allegory. And by this driver of the offshoot congregation off the cliff. And that is what happens when you don't follow the narrow road. We all know the scriptures. Narrow is the road, straight is the gate. And that's what happens, just like Thelma and Louise in the movie. They didn't stay on the road. They didn't stay on the narrow road. They headed off straight off the cliff. Now, faith and grace have had that happen to them in all of the worldwide churches' offshoots. And we pray for them that they'll be able to repent, and God grants them repentance. So today we'll examine in Scripture and see where faith and grace went wrong in the remnant churches of God, and that faith died in all the churches of God, because faith without proper works is dead. Now, the point here is, I've got a number of scriptures to go through, and I will go through them with you to substantiate this. And basically, what the churches of God have said, the offshoots, other offshoots, is that they will not follow Genesis 1:14, that clearly states in God's word translation, lights will mark festivals. Now, grace is not permission for you to invent your own ways and worship and your own ways and to sin. Nor is grace absolution that you can continue sinning year after year, thereby having sin as a way of life. And the other churches of God are initiating sin as a way of life. This is so serious, because grace is a finite period of time in which you are given a finite period of time to repent before you are judged as incorrigible and thrown into the lake of fire. Now Hebrews 10:26 states that there is no sacrifice for sin once you come to the knowledge and refuse to obey it. Now, the leadership of all the churches of God have come to the knowledge, because this is a hot potato for them. So they are aware of this, and they've got a limited time for them to repent. Now, if you are unwilling to repent your ways, and you remain a religious libertine, once you, that individual, the religious libertine's time is over, you are then judged by God to have either repented, changed your ways, and you will be given eternal life, or you will be judged that you refuse to change, that you're incorrigible, and that you will never change, and you will have to be thrown into the lake of fire so that you stop hurting yourself and that you stop hurting others. Now, I've got so many scriptures here, I'm going to go through them. You don't have to look them up. But the bottom line is that you are judged, I am judged, we are judged by our works. W-O-R-K-S, Revelation 20, 12 to 15. I'll read that one for us. I saw the dead standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. That's the Old and New Testament, plural. Now they were judged, each one according to his works. That's what the Bible says, those exact one words, each one according to his works. And then it goes on to say, anyone found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 20, 12 to 15. So again, the only thing a merciful God can do is put you out of your wrong-headed misery so that you will not cause yourself and those around you pain and trouble in eternity with 1,000 different religions teaching 1,000 different things. So, with that said, we'll move on to what condemns the world. And it says, through the light, though the light has entered the world of mankind, of humankind, humans love darkness rather than light, because their works were wicked. You've got to call a spade a spade. If someone is moving God's holy days one day, 2 days early, so that people unknowingly, or sometimes, well, in the back of their minds, knowingly work on God's holy days, that is wickedness. You know, Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? You know, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. We all must do what he says. Jesus said that he is the only way to eternal life. And obviously we must stop sinning. And we all know sin is transgression of the law. Sin isn't something ethereal. If we want other scriptures that aren't as well known, whatever, 1 Timothy 1, 5-11, whatever is contrary to sound teaching, we must stop being a part of. That means if your congregation won't change, you've got to get out of it and find a congregation that is following the Bible, every word of the Bible. And why is that important? Well, you've got a crown, and someone is stealing it right now as we speak. Someone is stealing your crown in your other churches of God. What does Revelation 3:11 say? Hold on tight. Well, it says fast. Well, we know what fast means. It's hold on tight so that no one takes your crown. Well, your crowns are being stolen out there, and we're raised up here in Triumph Row. Mr. Dankenbrink is a watchman, and this is serious. You're going to lose your crown. That's what the Bible says. Hold on fast. Well, what do you hold on to? 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Hold the traditions you were taught. We're taught. That's in 30 AD. Or perish. Or perish. You know, sin no more. Again, what is sin? 1 John 3:4. Sin is disobedience to God's word. Sin is transgression of the law. You know, in Revelation 3, 10, verse 10, you did not receive a love of the truth. Not only are you not supposed to sin, you're supposed to have a love of the truth and to sin no more. You know, in John 10, 12, I told you there will be a lot of scriptures, the hireling chickens don't fight. The hireling ministers don't fight. They don't take on the doctrines because they're worried about losing their congregations or creating havoc in it. And they're hirelings. They want to keep their congregations intact. They don't want to have a schism. They don't want to lose their financing and all their tithes and offerings. And it says, they are hirelings. Well, a hireling is someone who won't fight the wolves. And to drive the truth home here, let's inculcate in our minds that we, you and I, are going to stand in a courtroom before God. And we can't say, like in the Nuremberg trials, they couldn't say, oh, we were only following orders. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work in the Nuremberg trials. They were hung. And God is no fool. Again, for those who want to inculcate this into their minds, read it again in Revelation 20. I saw the dead standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by, what are they judged by? By the things written in the books. In the books, the Old and New Testament. And they were judged according to their works. You know, Ezekiel 44:23 says, teach what is holy and what is unholy. And Hillel 2, changing the calendar, is unholy. And you're supposed to teach people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. And what happens if you don't do that? Matthew 7:23 says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You changing the Bible. You're changing my Bible words, Christ the Logos says. You're changing Genesis 1:14. Get out of here, you workers of iniquity. So people want their own way, and troubles abound in this world. Because remember last week in the sermon, I said that people are eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can only eat of the knowledge of good. And the trouble starts with you and I if we're not following the Bible. And continually we have to force ourselves until it becomes automatic to follow the Bible with our new habits. And this is important. Now, I'm going to fast forward again, because as usual, I've only got about one-fifth of the way through here. So I've got a number of points to make here that are important. But here's a very important one. Matthew 4, in 1-10. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How many words do you live by? It says every word. Every word? Every means every. That means every jot and tittle. And it's not for self-righteousness. It's because we love God and we want to be like Him and be part of His family. Make it even easier to understand. We all should be praying every night. Even the people in the world are praying every night, and they're praying what is known as the Lord's Prayer, which wasn't exactly the Lord's Prayer, but we'll talk about that sometime. The point is, thy will be done is in the Lord's Prayer. Not Hillel's two will, who made an averaging calendar. So we can't just be hypocrites and mouth it that thy will be done. We have to do what's written in the Bible. Moving along here, John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. 1 John 2:3. And by this we know that we have come to know him. If we keep his commandments. How much clearer could that be? 1 John 5:2. By this we know that the love, the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So many scriptures, I just hit the highlights here. 2 John 6, and this love, that ye walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, as you have heard from when? From the beginning, from 30 A.D. That's the beginning. It goes farther back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who followed the crescent. But read it. It says, this is the commandment. Just as you heard from the beginning, you should walk by it. And then Revelation 12:17, who keeps the commandments of God, keeps and holds fast to the testimony of Jesus. And here in Revelation 14:12, here is the perseverance. That means perseverance means you've got to struggle, you've got to hold on, you've got to fight to keep the commandments. Because it says, here's the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So that is his will, that we can be more like him and grow to be more like him. And that is the perseverance that it takes. And we know that the law is a mirror to show us what to change, what to clean up. And we must be a doer of the law. Well, I'm really going to have to fast forward now because we only got about 5 minutes left here. These sermonettes are like 23 minutes long. So we're going to fast forward here. So go with the basics for the new listeners. You must repent and be baptized. It doesn't say just believe and be baptized, which you see all the TV preachers telling you, just believe on the Lord and you're saved. No, it says in Acts 2:38, repent. Oh, repent of what? Repent of sin, of course. So moving right along here, we're going to turn off more pages here to get to the highlights. And the problem is that people want to change the Bible. Ministers want to change the Bible and make it more convenient. And it's like Pogo said, I've seen the enemy, and it is me, our own human nature. Now, just so that we don't get sidetracked by their argument that says they see the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Remember, I said, the Pharisees say Jesus wasn't the Christ, so you're going to believe that too? And we've got articles, you can look on triumphpro.org, that'll show you the articles, the explanation of Moses' seat, which is very succinct, very well done, very well put on triumphpro.org. And the point is that the Pharisees had to go to check Moses' words in order to apply the law correctly. They had to go back to Moses' law, both the oral and the written. And that's how they maintained their seat. If the Pharisees found something that disagreed with the Bible, then the Pharisees had to go back to the Bible. And the Pharisees, if they had a difficult time and couldn't figure something out, they had to go back to the Bible and the oral and the traditional law and go do their research. And that's how they became in Moses' seat, and that was what their requirements were. Well, there's a big trick that's being played on the churches of God, because as we know, it's been around for a long time. It was brought up to worldwide maybe 20 years ago that the calendar is wrong and that the light should mark heaven. But here's what they did. Here's a story in getting to wrap up here before I give you any more scriptures. You can sit back and just listen. You don't have to write any of this part. And it's an allegory. There was a village that relied on horses to conduct its chores. Over time, the village elders realized that the neighboring village, which relied on zebras, was doing better. So after years of hailing the virtues of the horse, they wanted to embrace the zebra so they can make more money and keep their money. The only obstacle was converting the villagers who had been brainwashed over decades into worshiping the Hillel II horse. Well, the elders developed an ingenious plan. Every night while the villagers slept, they painted black stripes on the white horses. When the villagers awoke, the leaders reassured them that the animals were not really zebras. They're still the Church of God. It's just the same old horses adorned with a few harmless changes to Scripture. A few harmless stripes. Well, after a long interval, the leaders began to paint more of the horses each night, until all the horses looked like zebras. And they were all painted up like zebras. The prodigious animals transformed the whole concept of what was a horse and what was a zebra. And many years later, here comes the Hillel II calendar, 358 years after Christ, guess what? All the horses have been replaced by zebras. And now we've got the Zebra Hillel II calendar, the striped prison calendar that'll send you right into the gates of hell as a prisoner. So this is what happened, is that they actually, in allegory, painted the horses with stripes and called the zebras horses. And what do the churches of God think? That we are all fools and they can dress up Hillel II's calendar? and they call it the God's calendar, and they think they can switch the zebra for the horse, and nobody's going to find out. Well, we found out, and we're all going to be judged according to whether we apply the things that we found out, as we know, because we are judged according to our works. And remember, Hebrews 10:26, if after coming to a knowledge of the truth, you sin, there's no more sacrifice for sin. If you've heard the truth, and if God is calling you, and you refuse it, God can't work with you. And Hebrews 10:28, no sacrifice, no grace. Remember, grace is an unmerited pardon for sins that are repented of. Grace is a period of time given to repent and be baptized. Grace is not licensed to sin for the rest of your life. And sin is not ethereal. And Jesus did not take your place in order for you to be continually sinning for the rest of your life and working on his holy days. So, in conclusion here, go to 1 John 2:24. It's so clear when you read it. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. From the beginning. Not in 358 AD, but from the beginning. And that is so clear. You know, if a righteous man is scarcely saved, 1 Peter 4:18, what will be the end of the ungodly? You know, you have to never give up and fight to the end and run the race. It's 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. And we know that we have to make an effort and take the kingdom with a struggle. That's what the Bible says. And know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:9. So it's a daily struggle. And the old man inside you have to subdue your own carnal nature that you were born with, the flesh, the way of give and not just be getting all the time and not wanting your own way, and the temptations of the world you have to overcome, and the actual temptations of the devil, the demons that espouse false doctrines. So if you say you believe in the Bible, I said last week, why don't you follow it? That's pretty hard words, but that's true. So watch your thoughts, they become your words. Your thoughts, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And that could be in the lake of fire.